Just go and turn to the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. I'll read verse 1 this morning. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The beloved generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So I appreciate it, brother. In the world, you shall have tribulation. So he didn't say that just because I've overcome it, you're problem free. He says, in this world, you shall have tribulation. So, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And so we know that ultimately we have victory in Christ. John will say in 1 John, I believe it's the 5th chapter, this is that which overcometh the world, give us a victory, even our faith, our confidence in Christ, who overcomes. News, I read news. Well, go on there, and if you're watching the sides of your computer screen, there's advertisements there too. So I read blogs. Well, they've also got advertisements. They're all going to have some money coming in some way. And I've been fascinated to watch the narrative. Some years ago, I had a seizure. My short term memory was affected. It's still about 100%, but my memory's good enough that I remember things that a lot of American public don't remember. And we need to flatten the curve. And that was for one reason, to prevent hospitals being overwhelmed. Well, why are hospitals laying people off? Because the narrative changed. Once the curve was flattened, well, now we have to produce a new reason. And it became political. And another reason. Now, you have some governors saying we won't reopen until there's a vaccination. And the interesting thing about vaccines, one of the top leading doctors in our nation who advises our president, has said there's no way that we can achieve herd immunity, meaning immunity just out here in the world by being exposed. It's impossible. That's what he said. So we have to have a vaccine. Well, I don't know enough about vaccines, but this vaccine is giving antibodies to build immunity. And so if I can't get immunity out here naturally, how in the world can my body build immunity from a vaccination? It cannot do so. So all that tells me is, of course, folks are still trying to cause fear. If you read the news each day, I'm a news hound. I do like to read the news. I read it constantly. I convince myself I do so because I need to stay informed. The reality is it's just something I'm very interested in. I hope I can keep a balance here. Anyway, this is real. I saw a headline on a conservative news site that said we should expect depression level economics for the next 10 years. Well, how do they know that? They don't know that. We could be back to where we were by the end of this year. It may be longer than that, and it may take quite a while. We may never get back to where we were. But how in the world can anybody project that if we're going to be at depression level economics for a whole decade? I just don't see how in the world that could be projected accurately. Anyway, just always remember that they're going to try to tell you the scariest things and keep people stirred up. And as Emerson Powell used to teach me and others, necessarily that Matthew came first, but it's very wise how the early church assembled the New Testament. And if you read the book of Matthew, you'll find that Matthew presents the Lord Jesus Christ as the King. And we see that by the opening verse of this book. Matthew says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. It says, he's the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, when you read Luke's genealogy of Jesus, he will trace the genealogy back all the way to Adam. He says that Adam himself was the son of God, or the son of God by creation. So Luke is concerned with embracing all of human history, going all the way back to Adam. Here in Matthew's Gospel, he is more interested in establishing the Lord Jesus Christ as the King over Israel. And so that's why you'll see the focus on him being the son of David, the son of Abraham. If I had been writing it, I would have said he's the son of Abraham and then the son of David. That's the order I would have put it in. You see, I wasn't writing it, and of course, the Holy Ghost is inspiring it. The reason he says the son of David first is because that expression, son of David, was well known among Hebrews or Jews to be a term that denoted the Messiah or the son of God. And so here, as Matthew opens up his gospel, he says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. What is he saying? He's saying, here is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, who is the son of David, but then he is the son of God, the Messiah that God has sent into this world. So he says, Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus, which is also called Christ. Jesus is the name of the new Savior. Christ means the anointed one or the Messiah. So we have the anointed Messiah, who is the Savior. That's the name, Jesus Christ. So the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Plus, it's interesting when you begin to read throughout this genealogy, the names that are listed here. But before we get into that, let's compare for just a few moments to another book of generation. Go to Genesis chapter 5. And
see death. That means that God has taken him out of this world. Body, soul, and spirit right up into glory. He's never had to experience death. We find a lot of individuals that way, Elijah, but he never experienced death. Body, soul, and spirit up out of this world. You remember, Elijah said he wanted to die. He was saying a prayer because after all his preaching and all his ministerial labors, there was no grand national revival in serving God. In other words, what's the point of my life? What's the point of my ministry? He says, I am now left alone, so God saved my life. Well, God didn't do that. God blessed him and sent him to Elisha and trained him up as a follower of him, and Elisha would carry on his ministry. And then God came and carried the world with a fire and took him up into heaven, carried a fire in the world and carried him straight up into heaven. That's exactly what it'd be 912. It is 905. Came in 910. It's on the fifth one before you even get under 900 years, and that's 895. Here he would have been 962. The fifth one, 965. Later, 905, and lastly, Noah would have been 950 years of age. And he lived 350 years after the experience of the flood. So, that doesn't seem to be the book of death, but you'll read every one of those except for reading. So many years, and he died, and he died, and he died. You'll find that phrase recorded eight times in the book of Genesis, chapter 5. It'll be recorded the ninth time in Genesis, chapter 9, verse 29. Nine of those first 10 men lived so many years, and he died. And only one escaped death, and that was by the divine inspiration, by the divine intervention of God, by kind of taking out of this world. Thank you. with me. They were never saying go home. I think you're a curse to my sons. I don't want my third one to die also. I don't think you ever had any intention of giving Tamar to Shelah or Shelah to Tamar. So here you have the third son of Judah. Last one in line. So we find that Tamar, she does something that on the surface looks like a very wicked thing. The Bible tells her she plays the harlot. She covers herself in such a way. And we find that Judah's wife, she passes away. And we find that Judah wants to be comforted. He is comforted. Not by only the Lord of God to be comforted. He goes to a prostitute. He goes to Tamar, his own daughter-in-law, but he does not recognize that that's his daughter-in-law. She named the price. He doesn't have wherewith to pay right then. And he's going to say later that she makes him leave some things to bring an important belonging to him. It would signify who he was. They don't care about the man, they don't care about her, and they want her destroyed. Going back home as a widow woman with no sons. What's she got to do?
just the Lord. That bothered me. But she said, I ran out of coal. But I come back empty. I'll say this real quick. You can leave the house of God, the house of bread. At a time when it seems like there's no blessing there. And there may be moments in your kingdom experience where the preacher just not doing a whole lot for you. Thank you.